Hi guys, welcome to our first mental massage podcast episode.
My name is Alice. I am a high school senior, a part of the Mukilteo Youth Council, and one of the co-hosts for the Mental Massage podcast.
I am Laurencia, and I am also a co-host of this Mental Massage podcast, and I'm a junior at Kamiak this year.
All right. Hello, Katie. Do you want to just introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. Hi. Thanks, everyone, for having me with you. My name is Katie Dong. I use she, her pronouns, and I've been a youth organizer, community organizer at One America for the past 2 years.
All right. So I want to kind of start off with the topic around college applications and for first generation immigrant students as a high school senior. And there are a lot of other high school seniors who are going through this process right now for the stress on first gen students and immigrant students whose parents might not be as familiar with the American college application process. There is stress on those students to kind of figure out and navigate this process on by themselves. And we hope to kind of cover what that process is like for those students and also some resources that they can reach out to. And Katie, do you know a little bit about what that is or what resources they could go to for help?
Yeah, definitely. There is WASFA, so the Washington State Financial Aid, which specifically is great because it helps with undocumented students. And then there's also the FAFSA, so Federal Student Financial Aid. In addition to those resources, we actually have really good college access support. Maybe the communication isn't quite there, but the Washington Student Achievement Council is a great resource to reach out to and help with college applications.
I know that One America had a college access campaign for immigrants and refugees. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that went?
Yes, absolutely. So our college access campaign, I'll talk a little bit about how it came about and then also where we are now. So as a youth community organizer, I get the gift and pleasure of doing one-on-ones with young people in our community. And one-on-ones are just intentional conversations, getting to know a person, what their vision is, what their background is, what do they care about. And in that first year I was a community organizer, I did over 100 one-on-one relational meetings with young people from immigrant and refugee communities in King County. The number one thing I heard that people ran into and also wanted was going to college. So hearing that everyone wants to go to college, you know, as an immigrant and refugee, college and education is, you know, it's what we think of as the American dream. It's kind of a pathway to the American dream. So knowing that and hearing from my young people that it was really hard to get into college, the college application process is tricky, or going to community college or university, that there's its own set of challenges. So I started putting together and building my team of young people who are impacted by this and also really passionate about, you know, making it different, making it better, because it doesn't have to be like this. So around June of 2019, started building my team of folks from Seattle Central, from Federal Way, all over King County. And we started having discussions with our peers, so other students from immigrant and refugee communities, to ask, like, what exactly is hard? What are the challenges that you are experiencing in applying to college, or the challenges of being a first gen, of being an immigrant or refugee in college or university? So we had those discussions. We did a survey, a statewide survey, and received about 80 responses through Google Forms. And from this kind of initial first round of discussions and surveys, we found that a couple things stood out. One was college was really expensive. Thinking also like, it is really expensive for immigrants and refugees to pack up and come to a new country and most of the time start over. So it made sense, right? The other thing was for our families and students who are first gen, not having a family member who was able to guide them through it through their own experience and also understand the context in which they're coming from was really hard. So looping family members in and also the language access, if you don't speak English and your college counselor only speaks English, it's hard to make sure that everyone's on the same page and for your family to support you, even though they haven't been to college. And then another big thing that stood out was mental health. You know, we talk like high school is so hard. Junior, senior year really starts piling on. If you are, you know, a student, first year of college is hard on its own. And then especially going through it, if you are busy working, if you're staying at home and taking care of, you know, younger siblings or family members, it's hard. It's really hard on your mental health. So those are kind of our first kind of issues that we identified. Fast forward a year later, we're in a pandemic. And we saw that we want to use this crisis actually as an opportunity to be creative and push our asks through a different avenue. So there is something called the CARES Act. It is federal money in response to this crisis, this pandemic. And CARES Act was given specifically to schools, Title I schools, which means how many students who are impoverished live in your district. And so your budget, your money from the CARES Act is allocated based off of your Title I status. There are specific requirements for how CARES Act money is used. And so our team looked into the CARES Act and the districts that we live in, how much money each district gets, and looked back at our current college access issues. And we teased out a couple that we were like, okay, this is the time where we can push for them. The first is racial equity trainings, ones that are mandatory for everyone. And these are just kind of the big categories, the big buckets. We're more specific in what that looks like. And I'm happy to go more into that later. The second is how do we retain and also support our staff and faculty of color? You know, we love all of our educators for the most part. They do so much to care for their students, not only in an academic sense, but as whole humans. And specifically for teachers of color who really mentor our students of color, how do we support them? Because there's also much, much less of them in the workforce than their white counterparts. The third ask is around mental health services and resources specifically for immigrants, refugees, and students of color. I know for me, as you know, as someone who's Chinese American, thinking about mental health and our families, when I first brought up like I want to go to therapy, when I told my parents, they did not understand. And that's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's like, it's so foreign to them. They had no idea that it was a thing. And they're like, just go talk to your friends. You'll be fine. But so what I'm basically trying to say is mental health, like our experiences as immigrant and refugees, we face, everyone faces different or experiences different mental health problems or issues, if you will. But especially for immigrants and refugees, we have very unique experiences and should be with counselors who are equipped and able to support us in a way that we need to. So those are our three that we have worked on. And now legislative session is coming, which is crazy. And we are continuing to kind of transform and pivot. And we're going to be working on supporting dual language programs statewide and bilingualism and early childhood education, especially since so many immigrants and refugees are also child care providers.
Can you give a little quick out like brief on the dual language program that you mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the idea that we are of learning in two different languages. So not only are you learning a different language, but you are learning academic content between two different languages, which is really special.
It is definitely so powerful to be able to understand your language and speak it and have others not look at you weirdly when you do speak it in the classroom with other people who, for example, for me, speak Mandarin. And Lorenzi, I don't know if you've had any similar sentiments.
Yeah, I also had an experience with that. Even though Korean isn't part of the languages that are available in my school, Kamyak, I know Mandarin is a part of other schools. So like they have like a class for it. I know some people that take it. So I think that's really cool. I don't think it's very possible for every language to have a class, but it was very helpful for me and very cool to see that we can take the test for it and get actual credit for a language we learned at home. Yeah, I got like 4 credits from that, and it gave a lot of students that opportunity, and it was really cool for me to learn like your organization worked in that process.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask, because you mentioned the FAFSA and the Washington's version of the FAFSA, are there any resources to kind of help immigrants and refugees to fill out that form? Because that it definitely helps on the financial side of attending college, but just filling out that form, understanding the forms and all those things is really confusing. For me, I'm also a first-gen immigrant, not first-gen college student, but my parents also didn't go through the American college process, and they were filling out the FAFSA and very confused. And so I wanted to see if for the other immigrants and refugees who are about to enter this process maybe next year or currently filling out the FAFSA, are there any resources that can help guide them through it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually, I know that there are typically on-campus resources like GearUp or AmeriCorps positions that are usually there to help students with the college process. And ideally that is what your college counselor should be there for, right? However, again, I do not know, and I am actually doubtful that there are folks who help people fill it out in different languages. I mean, I think there are a few out there. I would imagine there's a few at libraries, but it's not normal and it's hard to seek it out, right? It's not public knowledge for everyone. So I don't know. I hope there is, but that is a great question.
We know of the Speaking Your Language, One America campaign. And from your experience specifically, how does speaking the mother tongue and feeling accepted for their language help improve immigrant students' mental health?
Yeah.
From like what you've seen.
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. I love the Speak Your Language campaign that we have. I know Alice and I have also briefly talked about this in our own conversations about speaking your family's language or your heritage language. But we actually have a couple of reports on the benefits of speaking your language growing up. And it certainly, there's benefits for like your brain plasticity and like your brain learning. For me personally, my family is Chinese. We speak Mandarin. My grandma speaks Mandarin and Cantonese, but I know it is really meaningful. Like this campaign is really meaningful to me because I didn't want to speak Mandarin or Cantonese growing up. And I told my parents that I didn't want to learn it. I didn't start learning Mandarin until high school. And when I took it in high school, none of my classmates took it seriously. It wasn't a good class, unfortunately. It wasn't a class that actually taught us to converse in Mandarin and about the, I think, rich history and culture that goes along with languages. So when you speak your language, I think it is so important. And we've heard this from our community, from our youth, from our parents, from our childcare providers. It does give you a connection to your culture and to your family, because it is more than just language. It's connection, right? It's understanding, because there are also words and phrases in non-English languages that cannot be translated or interpreted in the same way. And I think that has a big impact on a young person and students in our community, really, their sense of belonging in terms of whether or not speaking your home language is something to be celebrated or ashamed. So the Speak Your Language campaign, the whole point is that we should celebrate being multilingual. It is so beautiful to be able to speak in different languages, to speak in the language that you grew up speaking in your house, that you spoke in your home country, all of that. And we actually have a emerging multilingualism report that will be coming out early December and would love to share with you all.
And I know that you mentioned briefly when we were talking about earlier about immigrant students on the fact that in the next upcoming legislative session, One America is going to work on something related to bilingualism in schools. And one of the things that we wanted to kind of end on was like some actionable items that our listeners can do to like promote cultural diversity and acceptance in their schools or in their communities, or possibly work on something policy related to push forward the things that One America is going to be working on. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about what those things are for the next session and what your thoughts are on like actionable items that people can do.
Oh my gosh, yes, I love actionable items. Okay. Well, first, you know, visit our website. You are free to contact me. My email is on there, but it's also KAITIE at weareoneamerica.org. But please come connect with us and the Speak Your Language campaign. The report that we are sharing has specific recommendations around hiring more multilingual staff, compensating them. We have something called a Grow Your Own program, where we should uplift teaching as a really valuable and meaningful profession that is also well paid. We talk about racial equity training. So again, look out for that report coming out early December. We'll also be making a push for it in January with the new year. In addition to that, legislative session, I love civic engagement and passing bills that represent our community. So yeah, we'll be focusing on a dual language bill. So we have been part of the creation of a dual language program and making it statewide. We are hoping to get more funding and to expand the program because it has had such a positive impact on our community. It should be more, it should be an option for everyone. And also bilingual, again, we've seen the benefits of being multilingual, having those classrooms where you speak like both Spanish and English, or speaking both like, I don't know, Japanese and English, right? It is so good for your brain and also for our community to know that your language is important and understanding different cultures. So that is one of the bills that we'll be working on. Another is on Fair Start, so early childhood education. And we are still working on that bill language right now, so please follow up with me. But one way that you can help us is, again, come connect with us. And we're going to be talking with our elected officials, our representatives, to lobby, to advocate for these bills to pass. and say, this would mean the world for us and our community. This is what we want and what we need. Will you please pass it for us as our representative? And the legislative session begins January 11th. It is right around the corner. So please, please reach out to us, and we would love to support you in telling your story and why these bills matter to you. If you're also interested in joining like our young people, the bills I mentioned are everyone, but specifically as our youth organizer, I have a little community and team of young people who are passionate about education access for immigrant and refugee youth and families. Again, please reach out to me. You can find me on our website or again, email me, but would love to connect with you all. It's so exciting.
That is super amazing. The youth program at One America is really awesome. I've heard great things from people who are a part of it, so highly recommend. Please do reach out to Katie to join. Thank you, Katie, for joining us on this podcast episode. And this is really exciting, our first podcast episode. I've never done anything like this before, so I'm really honored that our first episode is featuring Katie and One America. And I'll link resources in the description of the report when it comes out, and also resources to FAFSA and the Washington version of FAFSA and the Speaking Your Language campaign and all of those things. And yeah, thank you for listening to the first episode of Mental Massage.
Thank you too so much for having me. It has been such, it's been so special and a gift to speak with both of you and to be on your podcast.